armistice. It was a real Theodore effusion.
My dear friend, how have you passed the day? Thank God I am well. I, being a king, could not allow people to come and fight me without attacking them first. I have done so, and my troops have been beaten. I thought your people were women, but I find they are men. They fought very bravely. Seeing that I am not able to withstand them, I must ask you to reconcile me to them.
He gave it to a couple of the Germans to take to Magdala, and then we went down to Islamgi through a torchlit purgatory of dead who'd been brought up from the battlefield and wounded being cared for by their comrades. It was raining again, and the guttering flare shone on rows of shrouded corpses and on lean-tos and tents where the absurgeons were at work. Under one long canopy were laid the scarlet-clad bodies of some of the 500 chiefs who had led the charge and been peppered by the king's own and Baluch, who'd supposed that one of them must be Theodore. He stood, silent a while, looking at them, and then moved slowly along the line, stopping now and then to touch a hand or lay his own on a forehead, before turning away. Someone called his attention to another body in a tent nearby, and when they drew back the shroud, who should it be? But Miriam, looking pale and beautiful and very small. It took me aback. I'd forgotten her in the tumult of the last few days, and seeing her lifeless gave me a shock that I find hard to describe. I mean, I bar vicious bitches who are prepared to burn me to death by inches, but she'd been a lovely peach, and I'd have dearly liked to explain the Kama Sutra to her by demonstration. So I can't say I was grief-stricken or even moved much, just sorry, as one is to see a beautiful ornament broken, and irritated by the waste. Some of her mates were around her, keening what I guess was a death song, and I asked the ugly little trot I'd christened Gorilla Jane how it happened. Miriam hadn't been in the battle, but watching with the others from the Fala saddle, and a screaming fire devil had exploded by her. A rocket. The others had escaped injury, so I guess bonny little Miriam was the only female casualty of Aragi. Well, at least I gave her a moment's thought, which was more than Theodore did. He spared her not so much as a glance as he strode onto his tent. Gratitude of princes, what? You'd have thought, would you not, that it was now all over at last. His army had been thrashed out of sight, he confessed with bitter tears that there was no resisting such weapons, and he'd asked Rassam to make peace for him. He changed his mind in the course of the night, which he spent getting raging drunk and vowing that he'd be damned before he'd sue to Napier. But by dawn he was seeing reason again, for the time being, and I was treated to the sight of Prido, in full fig, limping down from Magdala to get his marching orders from the Emperor. He and one of the German prisoners, a preacher named Flad, were to go with one of Theodore's sons-in-law, a nervous Swede named Alami, to open negotiations with Napier. His Majesty was in his sunniest mood by now, inquiring after Prido's health, pressing drink on him and complimenting him on his appearance, at which I couldn't help smiling approval, for our jaunty subaltern was putting on dog in no uncertain manner. His old red coat was sponged and pressed, his whiskers shone with pomade, his cap was on three hairs, his cane under his arm and his monocle in his eye. "Rule Britannia," thinks I, and stamped my heel in reply to the Bara Salam he threw me as he and his companions rode down to Napier's headquarters beyond Aragi. Theodore watched their progress through his glass from the summit of Selassie, and was much gratified when one of his scouts panted up to report that the party had been received with cheering and hats in the air. If he thought that this natural rejoicing at seeing two of the prisoners free at last was a happy omen, he was brought back to earth when they returned in the afternoon with Napier's reply. By then, his mood had changed for the worse, thanks to his chiefs who came to the Selassie summit en masse to point out that he still had 9/10 of his army in good fettle, and if they fell on Napier by night, when artillery and rockets would be useless, they could make him sorry he'd ever crossed the Bekello. Whether Theodore believed this or not, he was looking damn surly by the time Prido and Flad and Alami returned to inform him that Napier's terms amounted to unconditional surrender, with the prisoners freed and Theodore willing to submit to the Queen of England, with a promise that he'd be given honourable treatment. Reasonable enough, considering the trouble and expense we'd been at, and the barbarous way he'd behaved, wouldn't you say? But you ain't the descendant of Solomon and Sheba, with notions of imperial grandeur, unable even to contemplate submitting your sacred person to the representative of a mere woman who'd added injury to insult by ignoring your letter